The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard. This is New Hampshire Now, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, as well as the Prescription Center. And this segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's unique in New Hampshire. More information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of Political Interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. We've reached the portion of the campaign where Dan Feltis now has a... How'd you categorize that shirt?
It's like a fleece pullover.
Yeah, fleece pullover. Where it's identifies who he is. So that is the point of the campaign we're at. The last week of the campaign.
You gotta raise that name ID.
Gotta do it. And if
I'm not a household name like Sununu. My dad wasn't governor, my brother wasn't a U.S. senator.
Your dad worked in a furniture factory, unair-conditioned, for 45 years.
That's right.
He did have a strong fan which blew air in from a window, and he'd like for you to start saying that instead of just being unair-conditioned, I hear.
Did he call you up and tell you that?
He did. He keeps saying I didn't have any air conditioning, but there was a fan, and the fan was fine. Why does he keep saying unair-conditioned? It's fine. I had enough air. It was fine. That's the reason I worked there for 45 years. I liked my job.
It's a nice fan thing.
Yeah, the fan was the reason that kept me there. I talked to the fan. It was great.
Well, you know, he had a fan. I'm a fan of him. That's why I talk about it.
There you go. So we are a week out from Election Day, and it's been a long election. There's no question about that. So, you know, how do you gain the strength here over this last week to finish things out and close strong? We've seen some polling here that indicates that you are well behind going into this final stretch here. But the conditions seem to indicate that this is a election that is going to be one that where Democrats are going to have a lot of success up and down the ballot. And of course, the New Hampshire independent voter is one that generally ticket splits. And that's, a voter that you really need to hit at this point in time. What do you say to that independent voter?
Oh, what I say is, look, we're fighting for every last vote. We're on our every last vote tour. 10 counties, 10 days, 60 stops. We're all over the state, socially distanced with masks and so forth. But we're talking about what's at stake. What's at stake right now is health care. What's at stake is choice. With the confirmation of Judge Barrett last night to the U.S. Supreme Court, Obamacare and Roe v. Wade are likely both either overruled or repealed. And that results in the states and the governors of each state taking that responsibility. And so I guess the question for independents and Republicans and Democrats is, who do you trust more on health care and choice? Do you trust Chris Sununu, who's advocated his entire political career for the repeal of Obamacare and has fought tooth and nail to limit coverage and limit access, literally, and taken over $100,000 from the health insurance industry? And in fact, in 2016, when he was asked, why do you support Donald Trump? Chris Sununu said, because, quote, he would actually finally end horrible programs like Obamacare, unquote. That's Chris Sununu. I've been fighting my entire life as a legal aid lawyer and in the state Senate, access to health care for people who need it, workers and families, and in the state Senate, getting prescription drug relief, Medicaid expansion, protecting folks with pre-existing conditions, combating childhood lead poisoning, cleaning up our water, fighting bipartisan legislation every step of the way against the polluters and the health insurance industry. So who do you trust on health care? Who do you trust on choice?
Just one thing on that. It is amazing how politics works because 10 years ago, and I've been in this long enough now to realize and see changes from a historical perspective, but 10 years ago, everybody was trying to run away from the Affordable Care Act. And the thought that Chris Sununu, in order to try to appeal to the middle, and perhaps he does believe that there should be a framework of the Affordable Care Act and some changing of things around it. But in order to try to appeal to independent voters, it's remarkable in 2020 that you have a Republican, when even Democrats were hesitant on the Affordable Care Act because of its popularity in 2010. But I also think it's important to look at policies and as they come into debate today and to look at them through a broader lens of than of just the implementation and how it looks right away.
Right.
Because you look at the Affordable Care Act 10 years later and everyone's like, oh, that wasn't nearly as bad as we, you know, thought it was going to be. We heard that we were going to lose, you know, our doctor and that costs were going to go up astronomically as a result of the Affordable Care Act. Republicans fought tooth and nail to try to limit the exchange aspect, which was the free market part of the
Sununu voted against it.
Right, which was the free market part of it. And now, you know, there is a – when really the Affordable Care Act was also only 20% of the healthcare marketplace to begin with. It's remarkable to me, you know, how political debate and context can change over a period of 10 years.
Well, the one thing that hasn't changed is Chris Sununu's justifications for opposing thing, you know, including when he voted down, as you mentioned, the setting up the Obamacare healthcare exchange in New Hampshire when he was on the executive council in 2012. He voted down setting up even the exchange here in New Hampshire, the health insurance exchange. That's Chris Sununu's position. And when he did it, he said it's an income tax. And then we're having a debate now about paid family medical leave insurance, and he calls that an income tax. Anytime the health insurance industry opposes something, he calls it an income tax. Now on choice, look, the record's pretty clear. Chris Sununu, around election time, says he's pro-choice. All the actions and conduct in between are anything but. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, he vetoed insurance coverage for reproductive health care services, the Reproductive Health Parity Act. He vetoed that. He diverted COVID relief money to a quote-unquote anti-choice, quote-unquote counseling center. He supported the nomination and confirmation of judges like Brett Kavanaugh and others. And he supported, even though he didn't weigh in and support or opposition, he supported the process moving forward on Judge Barrett, who has a long-held antithesis towards Roe v. Wade, actually calling Roe v. Wade, quote, barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think for 1 second Roe v. Wade is going to you know, make it through under Judge Barrett, I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. And that's going to end up, in the words of Trump, back to the states. So who do you trust? Who do you trust to safeguard basic foundational fundamental rights like reproductive health care rights? Who do you trust on health care? You can't trust Chris Sununu. He's proven it time and time again. And so if we're going to move forward on health care and basic rights, and there's nothing more important in a pandemic than health care, then we got to win this race. We got to turn the page on Trump Sununu.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in discussing Amy Coney Barrett, I think we've talked about this before, and you're spot on, and I agree, and that there's not going to be landmark decisions in regards to choice or, you know, marriage equality that are going to be decided at the Supreme Court. What's going to happen is it's going to become states' rights issues. So the decision that to have Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court and now the 6-3 edge for conservative justices is going to lead to decisions 1-3 years down the road at the state level, which is going to decrease access to abortion in some states if it is popular there, perhaps even outlawing abortion in those particular states, and also rolling back marriage equality legislation and issues in regards to that. So I think that you can't say for certain what is going to take place because it is going to be a states' rights issue in terms of what's going to happen across the country. But I do feel that the way the Supreme Court is going to move is it's going to be these issues are best decided at the state. It's not going to be a piece of legislation comes in, a piece of law comes in, and they're like, oh, well, this is something that needs to change at the federal level. It's going to be states' rights.
Absolutely, it's going to be all the activity, substantive activity on healthcare and on choice are going to happen at the state level, and you know, Chris Sununu even wrote a letter to a conservative activist, Ovid Lamontagne, who's run for office, to the point
Ovid,
where
don't forget the E.
Don't and you know what? Ovid, in response, wrote to some of his conservative friends that this will be, quote, and talking about Chris Sununu, the most pro-life governor that we've ever had. So look, you can't trust Chris Sununu on to protect a woman's right to choose. You can't trust Chris Sununu on health care. His record is his record. And, you know, look, despite him saying otherwise right now in the last week of a campaign, his record's his record. And if he wants to continue to say these things, I welcome to have another debate with him. You know, he only agreed to one televised debate. And since then, he's kind of cowered in a corner, hasn't come out and engaged.
Yeah.
If you want to have a debate on the issues, let's have a debate. I'll have another televised debate with Chris Sununu.
And we've asked for the governor to join us here on the program the last couple weeks, and we're hoping he will do so. We've also said that we're willing to have a debate between yourself and him in a Pints of Politics type of setting as well, and we're waiting to hear on that as well.
I don't think you're going to hear back.
I don't think so either. There's also the governor's approach in the televised debate was different than the radio debate, where he was very disciplined in the televised debate, where he was very much on brand. He was happy. He was enthusiastic. He let most of your jabs slide during the course of that debate. But then on the radio one, when he did not think there would be the same audience, he came out firing right off the bat. In that particular format, and I thought that was interesting, and yeah, I think that one of the challenges is again that you have not been given an equal media platform or anywhere close to it to the governor in this format, in this election. And the other piece is that I think that we as a media need to look at how we cover politics. I know it's very challenging to do so at the State House. And media is dwindling in the state, but you look at an entity like NHPR, which has just massive amounts of resources, and I don't think that they necessarily all the time cover things that are in the public interest. And, you know, the governor and other elected officials, whether it's Senator Shaheen, Congresswoman Custer, they're just basically allowed to push forward whatever they want in terms of what they've accomplished. And we kind of take it at face value. And are they able to build up massive amounts of support? And again, I'm saying it on a bipartisan level. I think it happens with Senator Shaheen. I think it happens with Senator Hassan. I think it happens with Governor Sununu as well. And, you know, they're able to build up these leads because they're not really the negative aspect things are not really covered. A lot of the things that you've been talking about during the course of the campaign are not things that are kind of in the back room. I mean, these are actual pieces of legislation and vetoes and are not really discussed in a public setting the way they should be.
I will completely agree, and that's why when Chris Sununu continues to avoid debating, it's important for the public to have that conversation. Look, it's not that he agreed to one televised debate. That's it. And the most consequential election of a lifetime. And, you know, now he's, you know, kind of in his corner, kind of cowering there. And, you know, we need to have him come out. So talk about the issues. I mean, look, it's one thing to stand behind a podium by yourself try to present a good image of yourself. It's another thing to stand on a stage with two podiums and actually engage in a conversation about the issues that affect ordinary people's lives. And that's what this is about. How do we protect the health care? How do we protect fundamental rights like the right to choose? How do we move forward and lift up the stories of working class families who are getting taken it on the chin right now, particularly in this pandemic, with schools shutting down, cases going up, schools shutting down, childcare unavailability, health insurance concerns, economic concerns right now? And to just do these press conferences and to walk around and say, I'm the gold standard, that's what Chris Sununu says, and everything's fine. Everybody knows it ain't fine. And it's time to turn the page on 4 years of Trump Sununu. I had to ask a question of your listeners. Are you any better off after 4 years of Trump Sununu? I don't think so. It's time to move forward.
As Democratic candidate for Governor Dan Feld is joining us here on the Hampshire Now program, this hour the show is brought to you by Riverbend Community Mental Health, as well as the Prescription Center. And this segment of the show brought to you by Rath, Young & Pignatelli and RathLaw.com. The governor's on CNBC yesterday. And to me, this looked like Steinhauser and I have asked him about this through the years, and he always denies he's running for the U.S. Senate. And then we'll throw in at the end, what about president? Would you ever run for president? And he never really answers that question. And I saw an individual in that CNBC interview that in going after all of Congress, saying all 500, would we be better off without all 535 members, and Bob building himself up and what he's done in the state of New Hampshire, I saw an individual that I would not be surprised if he ran for, if he wins re-election, that he would run for president.
Well, I mean, his view, that's a view of his view of state house too.
Yeah.
He thinks that we're all better off without 424 legislators, 24 state senators at the state capitol, 400 state reps. And, you know, he's shown it by not working with people and by taking unilateral control over $1.25 billion in relief money that Senator Shaheen and Senator Hassan delivered for New Hampshire. They delivered that for New Hampshire, not Chris Sununu. And Chris Sununu walked around like Santa Claus throwing money to people. But I asked your listeners, how much money did you get of Chris Sununu's $1.25 billion that he took unilateral control over? I bet you didn't get any. You know who got a lot of it? Corporate campaign contributors to Chris Sununu's reelection campaign. And that's not right. We got to move forward and look out for working people and families, not this kind of hopping around, you know, showboating. It's time to work for the people. It's time for workhorses, not show horses.
that's another good line there. We've been working on that one. So I think you make a good point in that, you know, it appears that, you know, the governor does not want to be hindered by legislators. Yeah, it does not want to be hindered by legislators.
By anybody.
That kind of came across in that interview, where there is a reason that our founders set up the you know, the government the way that it is set up, and there's supposed to be the appropriate checks and balances, where we do not have a person that decides, hey, I know the best at everybody, and therefore I am going to be able to do as I wish. That is not the way that government should work, if it's a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative or a progressive or moderate. That's just not the way that it's supposed to work. And, you know, there are circumstances, such as during the course of a pandemic, where that type of behavior becomes, you know, somewhat acceptable. But I think that we have to look at it from a, you know, perspective of the course of history, where people have looked back at, and I think for good reason, have looked back at 9/11 and the Patriot Act and other things that were put in place, and they've said, well, that was too much, and it stayed around for too long. And it's important that if we feel that these types of powers are appropriate to be utilized by the governor during the course of an emergency, that they stay as a emergency power, because once power is gained, individuals do not want to give it back.
Absolutely, and we're seeing that with Chris Sununu. And look, the best ideas come from the ground up, not the top down. And no one person, Chris, regardless of party or regardless of who they are, has a monopoly over good ideas, period. And that's reflected in our founding documents, not just the United States, but in New Hampshire. So reflecting that and acknowledging there's 400 state reps, each one of them brings to bear representative government and brings to bear ideas about how to move forward. And some of the best ideas were legislation filed at the beginning of different years. I've been up there working in the state senate for 6 years. Some of the best ideas were legislation filed at the beginning of the year where people say, well, I don't know anything about that. And then it goes to a hearing and people say, well, you know what? This is good. Let's work on it. And you don't get that under Chris Sununu. What you get under Chris Sununu is him taking unilateral control over the entire government, except for schools. When it came time to make decisions on schools, he just threw up his hands and said, it's all up to school districts. You're on your own. I'm of the fundamental belief we're all in this together, but taking unilateral control, basically, and then veto all the legislation that folks have worked on, bipartisan legislation. I'm gonna have an open door policy for legislators. I'm gonna work with them. Chris Sununu shuts everybody out. Doesn't talk to anybody.
Final thing on the lawsuit that Attorney General Gordon McDonald has filed against the state of Massachusetts, who went through a process in order to be able to collect income tax on individuals that work for Massachusetts companies but live in New Hampshire. And I'm curious as to your thoughts on this, and that obviously it's a significant issue, because I feel that a lot of people moving forward in the New Hampshire economy are going to be working remotely. They may live in Lake Winnipesaukee but work for companies in Michigan or whatever, and that is a big part of the New Hampshire economy moving forward. What's interesting about this case is that they're trying to enact taxes that they were already paying. So the individuals who are working in Massachusetts are now working working remotely in New Hampshire during the pandemic or afterwards were already being taxed in income tax in Massachusetts to begin with, correct or no?
Partially. So the rule was a days in, days out rule. So for just as an example, if let's say you lived in Milford and you commuted to Boston 4 days a week, but then you teleworked on Friday, you would pay 4/5 of the income tax, so 80%. So it was days in, days out. What Massachusetts wants to switch it to and is in the process of doing that is it doesn't matter how many days you're in or out, you just pay it, all of it, 100%. That's not right. That's not fair. In fact, Senator D'Alessandro and I, Senator D'Alessandro's chair of the Finance Committee. I'm vice chair of the Finance Committee. I'm chair of the Ways and Means Committee. He's vice chair of the Ways and Means Committee. We actually wrote a letter to the commissioner of the Department of Revenue, Greg Snyder, 2 weeks before Chris Sununu even was aware of this issue, raising this concern, and continued to fight on that. I testified at the hearing in the Massachusetts Department of Revenue. I don't support an income tax, never have, never will. Would veto an income tax if it reached my desk, despite the ad you see from Chris Sununu. And then now, Chris Sununu, here's what I see as the problem. First of all, the rule itself, substantively, is anti-worker and anti-public health. Granite staters who are working from home are helping the public health, including of Massachusetts,
right,
by not going into Massachusetts to work. So they're doing the right thing, and they're being penalized by it. So I don't think it's a good idea on a number of levels. That being said, why didn't Chris Sununu just pick up the phone and call Charlie Baker?
Instead of suing him.
Instead of just going straight to the United States Supreme Court and suing him.
Right.
So this is, again, the reality of Chris Sununu. He doesn't work with people at all. Doesn't work with surrounding governors. Hasn't worked with them on any of the climate initiatives. Hasn't worked with them on the Northeast Regional PPE Purchasing Partnership. Now New Hampshire's being left behind on PPE. Doesn't work with the Executive Council. Doesn't work with the legislature. Who does he work with? I mean, as far as I can tell, it's his family and their corporate special interests, and that's it. So pick up the phone, call a neighboring governor, and say, you know what? Maybe he's not comfortable with the subject matter. I am. I'm Chair of Ways and Means, and we wrote that letter to begin with, flagged it for Chris Sununu. Pick up the phone. Call Charlie Baker.
No, and it's an important issue because of, again, New Hampshire's economy is going to largely, in my view, be built on small businesses that are going to be working remotely with other states and entities. And should those states be able to derive income tax from individuals that work for a company that is located in a place that has an income tax, but those individuals are not physically there? And in the past, you know, you look, performers or athletes would have to pay tax to Massachusetts if they were working in that state physically, and the same thing with these types of workers. And as you noted, this is different in that they're looking to derive a income tax from any individual that works there at all, as opposed to in the past it would be just if an individual was working there
physically.
Yep. And so that's an important distinction. As always, appreciate joining us for the program.
Thanks, Chris.
Dan Felt is here on Hampshire Now, 1-9-1415, nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, as well as the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli and rathlaw.com. We'll come back with more from inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio after this.
The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard.